T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
San Francisco skyline. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Es la 95.7. Damon San Bruce Show. Escúchalos, son los número uno.
That's the kind of enthusiasm I want fans to bring to Oracle tonight. I'm sure you're going to do it. The conquering heroes have returned. Welcome back to the Golden State Warriors, who are so good, they set a record even when they lose. It's our final hour. Welcome in. We're going to have Brian Geltzeiler at the bottom of it. I got some Warrior chatter for you right here. One last look back at Week 14 in just a moment. And Gilbert Arenas probably taking his suggestions for the NBA. Just a scotch too far. Look at it this way. If I'm the one pulling the reins back on your statements, chances are you should be like, whoa, horsey. Seriously. We have so much for you in the final hour of tonight's program. We're going to make it worth your while. And if you're on your way to the Warrior game, you're going to want to keep it right here. We got you. All right. How good are the Warriors? They even set a record when they lose. There's only two teams in the NBA that can set like a record when it's losing. And it's the Warriors being this good and the Sixers being that bad. The Warriors have been so dominant, they've already have more wins before their second loss than any other team in NBA history. I mean, it was 15-0. They cut it out to 24-0, nearly doubling that. And they now have won more games before any team picked up a second loss. So that's amazing right there. At 24-1, the Warriors now need to win 49 of their final 57 games to break the single season NBA record of 72 wins set by the 95-96 Chicago Bulls. Now, only seven teams in NBA history have won 49 games in a 57 game stretch. The 99-2000 Lakers won it all. 96-97 Bulls won it all. 95-96 Bulls won it all. 82-83 76ers won it all. 71-72 Lakers won it all. 66-67 76ers won it all. There's only one team that ripped off a run like that and didn't win it all, and that's because we believe got them. The Mavericks in 06-07 were taken out by the Warriors as the 8th seed. That is the only team that won 49 games out of 57 and didn't take home a title. Take that, Dirk. Ja wollt mein Herr. So, the Warriors, any way you want to look at it, check all the boxes that this ends special. The amount of people who tried to complain about the special beginning is ridiculous. Good luck, Phoenix. You got a young, quick backcourt. Well, actually, Brevin Knight's not young, but you know what I mean. You got a good backcourt. You got a backcourt that can push tempo. I believe it's the fourth best scoring backcourt in the NBA. We all know who number one is. I'm saying Phoenix goes down by 20 tonight.
Okay.
And Milwaukee's going to catch it by 25 on Friday. Milwaukee Bucks are about to get clocked by this rested Warrior team. A couple of other notes from the NBA before we get to Gilbert here in just a second. Last night, LeBron had 24 against the Celtics. He's now averaging 29.7 points per game in his career games against the Celtics. Now, historically, I like that. If you're going to bring it against the Celtics, right? In Boston especially, most career points per game against the Celtics, NBA history, minimum 10 games. Jordan number one, Bron number two, Kareem number three, Wilt number four. So there you go. Bron. Cavs. They've won three in a row after losing three in a row now. How many people do you think will stop listening to the show if I did a How Good Bo Ryan Was for Wisconsin segment? I'm guessing enough to probably say that to the end of the program tonight. But an end of an era is happening in college basketball. Bo Ryan is stepping down at Wisconsin. And I will save that till the last minute of the show. Just because.
Keep him hanging on.
Yeah, keep him hanging on. For all you Badger alums out there sitting on that one, I'll get to it at 6:54 today. So stick around because I got to get to Gilbert. So I heard this morning on Twitter via a little outrage that some unflattering things were said by Gilbert Arenas about the WNBA players, and it was tantamount to, if they wanted people to watch, they should wear thongs. Or it's like
skimpier outfits, basically.
Yeah, he basically put the thong song on the WNBA and said it would make it better. And I thought, well, all right. Topics for Damon. Let's not touch that one. But then, I saw the WNBA's comments in a statement with WNBA letterhead on top of it. The following statement is from league spokesman Mike Bass on behalf of the WNBA and NBA. Quote, Gilbert Arenas' comments are repugnant, utterly disrespectful, and flat out wrong. WNBA players are strong, talented, and determined individuals who give it their all on the court and serve as inspiring role models to millions around the world. Millions? Okay, hold on. They should be celebrated for their accomplishments, not disparaged with ignorant insults. So I read that. Repugnant? I can't remember the last time I read repugnant in a sentence. Disrespectful, flat out, wrong, disparaging, this, that, the other. So finally, reading this piqued my curiosity. What the hell did Gilbert Arenas say? Did you ever see the newspaper, The Sun? It's from London.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Page six, girls. There is a topless woman 6 pages into a major English newspaper. There's a topless woman, and it's, they got these British glamour models. And during the World Cup a year or two ago, they assembled all these girls in the skimpiest of outfits and had them playing a game of pickup soccer in slow motion. Things were bouncing everywhere.
Of course.
And the video was well-received.
Soccer has a huge fan base, though. That's kind of surprising that they were...
What?
They don't need to be that edgy. I mean, people like soccer everywhere else but here.
Okay, you should see how... Okay, do they like soccer in Mexico?
They love soccer. Like it here? Oh, yeah.
Okay, have you ever turned on Telemundo? It is the running around in thong video
Trust me, I watch novelas every night. I see them every night. They are very, they're scantily clad, sure.
So Gilbert Arenas on Instagram but linked video to what was the equivalent of that video. It was model quality girls running around in thongs and leggings playing basketball.
Yeah.
The video was well received. I mean, this is some good-looking hot stuff. I mean, I don't go sports and titillation, but...
They're hot girls running around a court chasing balls. How are you not going to be interested?
Raise your hand if you lean heterosexual. Which apparently Gilbert does, and Gilbert posted this video on Instagram, and that might have been enough. Like, I don't think I would have posted this video. What good would it have done me? Gilbert posts this video... Look at what he wrote. This is, now I know that this isn't supposed to be funny, but I was born with a sense of humor. So let's see how that goes. Gilbert writes under this video with scantily clad women running around playing basketball in thongs. Now, this is what America was hoping for when they announced the WNBA back in 1996. Not a bunch of chicks running around looking like cast members from Orange is the New Black. Don't get me wrong. They've got a few cutie pies, but there are a whole lot of bean pies running around. Ha, 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 ha. If Skylar Diggins came out like this, I don't care if she missed every layup. I'ma buy season tickets, and I don't even know where the bleep Tulsa is. Ha, 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 ha. And if you think this is sexist, 9 times out of 10, you the ugly one, and we didn't come to see you play anyway. Hashtag Donkey Kong.
What the? Wow.
He went for it.
That's harsh.
Hashtag Donkey Kong might be the new battle cry for... That's a huge... No, never mind. He definitely went a little too far there. For a guy who has been in the public eye for a long time, for him to just go ahead and post this thinking like, this is going to go over great.
Yeah, this will be well received.
People are going to love this. Not a lot of awareness there. I don't even know if the WNBA serves itself well by refuting this. Like, obviously, here's some guy in a bar stool just cracking about, you know, this is, is he serious about any of this? All I know is that if WNBA uniforms morphed into what the video that he posted was showing, there's no doubt in my mind it would be the highest rated WNBA game in the history of the WNBA, which would mean like it had a single audience member. Gianna, I know people think that I'm like anti-women.
You're not anti-women.
Thank you very much. But I am pro-reality, and I'll say this right now. You'll have a lot. If everyone who defended the WNBA bought a ticket, there'd be people at games. I haven't met a single person who has ever begun a conversation with, I was watching the WNBA last night.
I mean,
I haven't met a single person who's ever admitted to buying a ticket. I've talked to people who have said they've had tickets given to them, but I can't find a single ticket purchaser of a WNBA product, jersey. Like, it seems like it's all free. I have no idea when the season begins, ends. It gets no, look, the WNBA. If it disappeared tomorrow, the amount of pretending to miss it would so outweigh the reality of anyone missing it. It just does not factor into the conversation female fans have about sports. I've never met a woman who was like, let me tell you why you should be watching the WNBA. Because, bleh.
I mean, there isn't a lot of attention towards the league, unfortunately, June through September, which I think is when the actual time frame is when they play.
Okay.
The problem is, I think, as an athlete, if I was in the WNBA, I would want to be respected for being an athlete, not because, you know, maybe I'm physically attractive being on the court. I would look good in a bikini. You know, it's offensive. If I was an athlete, I would not be okay with him saying that. And of all people who need to respect them and kind of get a little love from them because nobody's watching, I don't even watch it. And I totally agree with that. It's not something that captivates my attention. If it was gone tomorrow, unfortunately, it'd be sad for a lot of girls who would love to play basketball professionally, but I personally will probably not miss it. But he needs to kind of show a little love for kind of his fellow female and, you know, basketball athlete. That's the problem.
Right. Like the game recognizes game type
exactly.
of thing. Like, you know, we're all in this together. I had no idea what he said until I read this. And I was like, all right, no wonder why the WNBA fired back. But what he says is so outrageous, filled with hashtags and tomfoolery that the old. How about this? Does this circulate if the WNBA ignores it?
Right. You just draw more attention to it. You just gave him more followers, more retweets, and more people laughing about it.
This is the only WNBA segment on the show in 2015.
It's probably the only one in 2016, too. That hasn't even happened.
Say what you want, WNBA. Gilbert Arenas just brought more attention to your league than your playoffs or crowning a champion ever could.
That's sad. There's some talented girls, some talented athletes for sure.
But you know what's absolutely ridiculous? There's one woman in the WNBA who put up like an unbelievable number this year. She like her player efficiency rating was that of Wilt Chamberlain. Like, if you want to measure it, she had the greatest season of basketball ever, if you believe the idiot that tried to sell you that garbage bag of lies on ESPN. She did not have the best season of basketball ever, regardless of sex or gender. She only had the best WNBA season ever, which with 250 gets you on Muni. I mean, it like, come on. It's the Ronda Rousey thing.
I was just going to say, it brings us back to the whole conversation. Two different sexes. You cannot compare their ability athletically on the field, on the court. It's just not possible.
So, Gilbert, remember, good choices are not something he's known for. Gilbert Arenas is essentially no longer in the NBA because he was bringing guns into the locker room.
I think he was trying to be funny.
And he was absolutely trying to be funny. He was absolutely trying to be the funny guy.
Yeah, he went too far. He went too far, for sure.
Trying to be the funny guy, he went a little too far. I think that is pretty clear. By the way, speaking of the guy that went a little bit too far yesterday, right around this time, we were talking about Rajon Rondo and the comments that he made to the NBA referee who revealed himself to be gay after Rondo was suspended for using a homophobic slur in a moment of intimidation, which I think the suspension had to do more with physical presence than message delivered verbally. And I was talking about this yesterday. I said, it's time to move on. Like, this is not, he should not be now the villain of the end. Here's what Rajon Rondo wrote today. He sent this out via Sam Amick. I saw this on Twitter. Because here's the deal. So he apologized, right? He apologized. And the apology wasn't good enough for people. So they wanted more. And that's it. Like, this is what drives me nuts. Like, you screw up and you apologize, then the amount of, well, your apology's not good enough for me? Well, too bad. I ain't selling two today. I went through an issue like that once. Yesterday, I said words towards Bill Kennedy that were unacceptable and did not reflect my feelings towards the LGBT community. Some have interpreted my comments as a non-apology. I want to be clear from the bottom of my heart that I'm truly sorry for what I said to Bill. There's no place on or off the court for language that disrespects anyone's sexual orientation. It's not who I am or what I believe, and I will strive every day to be a better person. Here's your get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah.
When athletes are hot, they say things they normally wouldn't. They do things they normally wouldn't. They behave in ways they normally wouldn't. You know, I've talked to Ron Artest. He's crazy. But he's not going to hit anyone or hit anything or ruin a light or a TV camera just in normal daily conversation. You know, that's all of that happens when he's on the court, coming off the court. It's all adrenaline focus related. Now you got me defending Ron Artest. This is crazy. You know, the WNBA would probably be better served by ignoring the things it deems, this is wildly offensive. The only reason why I know about this is because you brought up, I'm not following Gilbert Arenas on Instagram, and I'm guessing those who are, just dismiss this quickly. You made a big deal out of it.
Right.
You're
absolutely right.
You know, you can all it is words. The only way you give words power is by allowing them to control the conversation. Was that better than the Bo Ryan segment? Should I have just done the Bo Ryan segment? Danny was like, should have done the Bo Ryan segment. We're going to get letter.
I can see the sweat off of Danny's brow now.
We're going to get letters.
I'm going to reel it in real quick here.
Yes.
I got an amazing stat for you. Warrior stat.
Give me a little research. Go ahead, Danny.
All right. There are 6 NBA teams other than the Warriors that have an above 500 record on the road. They are combined 43-32. That's 11 games over 500. The Warriors are 14-1, 13 over 500. They are 2 games better over 500 than the only six other NBA teams that have an above 500 record on the road. Pretty incredible. 5 more games they've played on the road this season than at home, and they're still 24-1.
It's insane. I mean, there's no amount of stacking up the numbers where you just don't go like, wow. But let me tell you, it's not just the Warriors world that we're living in. You know, the Spurs are out there absolutely killing people. The Spurs have won 9 times by 20 or more points. They had 11 such wins just in all of last year. The Warriors have played 1 fewer game, but the Spurs are now outscoring them in terms of margin of victory for the first time this season. San Antonio is putting it on teams in massive ways, and we're all so caught up in the Warriors that not only are we not noticing, nobody is. Nobody's talking about the Spurs, and that is the way Pop wants it. That's the way Popovich wants it. Doesn't want you noticing, doesn't want you checking in, doesn't want you worrying about a thing. We'll just see you in the playoffs. And the message that they got last year about not finishing strong, doesn't matter where we play, I think that that's gotten through to this team. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about the Spurs, how good they are, other challengers, and the Warriors getting back at it tonight against Phoenix. We're going to talk about reducing the back-to-backs with my buddy Brian Geltzeiler, who covers the NBA. You can follow him at Hoops Critic. And before this game tips off tonight, we're going to have John Dickinson check in from Oracle Arena at 6:45 with any and all last-minute lineup announcements coming. If he's heard even more about a Steve Kerr timeline to rejoin the team. You know, Bob Myers was talking about that today with Papa and Lund, and he basically said there's not going to be this dramatic, like, Steve Kerr is now back at practice. Luke, don't say another word. It's not going to be this huge shift of power. It's going to be like, okay, Steve is back, and Luke, keep it up. You're doing a great job, too. I think Steve Kerr has displayed a lack of ego that is just so refreshing in basketball coaches, who, among the world of coaches, are some of the most look-at-me peacocky guys you'll ever find. Steve Kerr just isn't that guy.
Baby,
wait for it.
Baby.
Feels right.
Baby, I got the feeling, baby.
Yeah. Feels good, James Brown. Thank you very much. You got soul, you got funk, so do the Warriors. They're back tonight. Brian Geltzeiler joins us next, talking about the NBA.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
30 minutes left tonight. We will make very good use of them. We are going to have Brian Geltzeiler, the Hoops Critic, join us here in just a second. From Rich on the text line, Gianna, he points it out. This is what if I framed it in any other way, this is what I really wanted to say. Damon, I got to give it up to Gilbert Arenas for just ignoring every conceivable stop sign and doubling down on his statement as he was making it. And yeah, I think that's what I take away is like, man, I mean, he just kept on going.
He went for it. With the hashtag. What was that one? There was one I didn't quite understand. The
hashtag Donkey Kong?
No, I got that one.
Oh, no. Oh, dude. Well, that's the one I'd almost like to avoid explaining.
Okay. Don't explain it. Because I don't understand that one. Yeah. I'm being honest. Okay.
Yeah, I'll explain it. Right. A little bit later on. Not right now. It's very much in the realm of what got Don Imus in an awful lot of trouble.
Oh, really?
When he was comparing UConn and... Yep. UConn women's hoops and Rutgers women's hoops. It's very much along those lines.
And he hashtagged that?
Yeah.
Wow, genius. Oh, my God. This guy needs to be way more aware. I don't mean genius, literally. I mean, like, dumbass genius. Does that make sense? That makes no sense. He needs to step away from the keyboard. He's not a genius. That's what I mean.
Hashtag dumbass genius.
Dumbass.
That's a good one right there.
You know what I mean. I don't support it. Just mean like sarcasm. Thank you. God, stop.
You're like Gilbert. You can't stop yourself.
I can't stop myself.
You just can't stop.
I'm not getting my point across as I had hoped. My sarcasm didn't come through with my hashtag.
Well, this hashtags are scary. Let's go to Brian. I hope Brian is ready to go. Brian, it's good to have you on again, my friend. You might have heard the Warriors, even despite their last game, I still, I think, qualify for a hot start. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, Damon. How are you tonight?
Doing excellent. Warriors are back at it. They got the Phoenix Suns in town. It's been 18 days since they've played a home game, and I think are going to get a hero's welcome tonight. You know, we are chopping this thing up statistically, looking at the odds. What do you take away from the 24-1 start? Is there a signature moment or a greater overall theme that you apply to this unprecedented beginning?
Well, you know, there's two things to me that have stood out here, Damon, in a big way. First and foremost, obviously, and not to beat it over the head, I mean, Steph Curry, I'm not sure you've seen a better 25-game stretch offensively out of player ever. I even dismiss what we've seen from a stat standpoint and look at just the way he's come up big at big points in so many games and just has saved this team in terms of winning games. And even, you know, Curry's greatness has covered for a lot of emerging errors and things that haven't exactly gone perfectly for them. And they certainly haven't played with the peak efficiency lately, but Curry's covered that. The other thing is defense. This defense, I beat it into the ground how good this defense is, because I think people have a misconception about this Warriors team. Yes, they're a terrific shooting team. Yes, they are wonderful in the open floor and the best fast-paced team maybe we've ever seen. But I will also say that their defense is what makes them incredibly special. Their ability to get stops late in games in the half court, and it's Draymond Green, and it's Bogut, and it's Iguodala, and it's Clay, and it's the depth, it's the personnel. But what they do defensively, and I'm a defensive snob, Damon, what they do defensively, I think is just as great as what they got out of Curry, if not greater.
Who is the better defender? Is it Draymond or is it Clay?
Oh, it's Draymond. Draymond's the best defensive player on the team. But I'll tell you this, Clay Thompson may be the most underrated defensive player in the entire league. Because he can, and you guys appreciate him out there. I don't know that he gets the credit league-wide that he should. For his ability to lock down smaller, quicker guards. I mean, he's so long. He's so smart. He helps really well. He's incredibly disciplined. He doesn't gamble too much. I love him as a defensive player. And it's funny because people talk about his slow start. Yeah, offensively, he's not exactly been firing on every cylinder. But what he's done on the defensive end of the floor this year has been absolutely terrific. And people talk about Mike Conley wearing a face mask in that second-round series last year against the Warriors. Yeah, maybe he had a face mask on. That wasn't hurting him. Clay Thompson locking him down is what won that series for Golden State.
We've got our buddy Brian Geltzeiler joining us here talking about the NBA. And obviously, the Milwaukee Bucks get a lot of credit. They won that game, but let's face it. If the Warriors' loss were a sack, that sack would be split between the Bucks and the Celtics, who in double overtime decided that game in Milwaukee as much as Milwaukee did.
Yeah, Damon, it's a great point. I mean, the Celtics wore them down to enough. And the thing about the Celtics is that, listen, Warriors won the game, and they didn't have Clay, and they didn't have Harrison Barnes, and that matters. That absolutely matters. But I will also say this, in certain ways the Celtics played, if I'm watching film on how to have some success in certain spots against the Warriors, I'm watching the Celtics. First of all, I really like the way they rolled a second defender to Curry outside the three-point line. They forced Curry inside the three-point line. We're willing to give up the twos to make sure they harass him behind that three-point arc.
I was wondering when someone was going to start doing that, Brian. I mean, he's the one guy that you're better off pushing closer to the basket, not away.
Absolutely, but here's the thing about that strategy, Damon. One of those two guys has got to be a really strong defender on the ball. okay, because you want it. You have to run Curry one direction or the other. And it's really hard for guys to get Steph Curry to change direction. He goes where he wants to go and get there faster and better than you do. So, yeah, he needs a defender like Avery Bradley to steer him towards the help. And it's a really hard thing to do with Curry. And that's why other teams, you know, you see a good Paul George in Indiana, I'm sure. Frank Vogel gets him again. He'll do some things differently with how he defends Curry, because if you have a big-time defender, it's a very nice way to use him. Because, again, no matter how good a defensive player is, you still can't guard Curry one-on-one.
Everyone's talking about the record that the Warriors may set for historical purposes. How about this, Brian? They might need to set the regular season wins record for seeding purposes. The way that the Spurs are playing, they could absolutely come in 67, 68 wins, whether Pop is resting cats or not.
You know, I'll tell you this, Damon. The biggest best story in the NBA no one has talked about is the fact the Warriors have had a historic start, and the Spurs are really right there. They're a stone's throw away from being right there for that one seed. I mean, 3.5 games back, they've been incredible. The Spurs defense, I gushed about the Warriors defense before. The Spurs defense this year, the numbers that they're putting up are gaudy. And they actually have a bigger win differential, point differential for a game than the Warriors do. And the Spurs have played great. And the Spurs are scary for the Warriors in this way, Damon. They're one of the few teams in the league that aren't trying to play Warriors basketball.
Right.
Run up and down the floor, pace and space. They're not doing that. They will take the air out of the ball. They're one of the five slowest paced teams in the league. They'll walk the ball up the floor. If you want a chance of beating the Golden State Warriors, you better start with figuring out a way to limit their possession. And you don't limit their possessions running. And it's unbelievable to me that, and I think the Warriors are really almost responsible for this, the tempo controls become a lost art. You're not going to run with this team. They're surprised how few teams try to slow them down.
It really is amazing. You figure Popovich would find the best solution for the Warriors, and it's going opposite day on the Warriors. It's almost like what Stanford's done to compete in the Pac-12 with spread it out wide open teams like Oregon. They're like, we're going to go back to brass knuckle football, and that's what Popovich is doing. By the way, I love how Popovich will tell you how he hates the three while he uses it more in the finals than any other coach before him.
Yeah, I love that, too. You know, listen, I hate the three also. And Grant, I love basketball, the three's there or not, but I'm old school in that respect. So I felt what Popovich was saying. With that said, you know, listen, if you snooze, you lose. Everybody's using it, and if you have the personnel to do it and the way they use it in their inside-out game and having, you got to have guys that will hit consistent three-point shots for you. But the thing about Pop's Spurs is it's quality threes, not quantity threes. And I think that's where some teams have gotten very caught up with trying to take a lot of threes, just keep throwing them up and throwing them up. They have to be quality looks. And one of the beautiful things about the Warriors is how easily they get those quality three looks, because they got so many guys to spread the floor. So it's approaching the three-pointer correctly. The Warriors do it for their personnel. The Spurs do it for their personnel. I think where teams get in trouble is they're doing it, and they don't have the personnel to apply the style they're trying to apply.
Brian Geltzeiler here on 95.7 The Game. You can follow him on Twitter, at HoopsCritic. It is a very good follow. Tons of information from Brian on a whole bunch of teams, back east, west coast. He covers the whole league. And I want to ask you a whole league question, because there's so many discussions about what can be done to make basketball even better. And my whole point, when it drives me nuts when people say, well, they need to go from 82 games to 67. You know, less games, less is more. No. First of all, it's unrealistic. No owners giving back money. That's not happening. Here's what basketball needs. Needs to grow the court by a foot in every direction. Expand rosters by two guys so legs are kept fresher throughout the season. And most importantly, it's time to eliminate back-to-backs. Let's get rid of them. The Warriors play 82 games in 170 days. There's no reason for them to have 16 back-to-backs.
Well, first, let's start with the back-to-backs, Damon, because, I think the travel is certainly an issue in terms of quality of play. There's no doubt. And would I like to see a situation where teams did not have back-to-backs on the road? I'd love to see a situation like that. And part of the problem to me is that I think you have the season still condensed into too short a period of time. I feel like if you added, 2 weeks on the front end and 1 week on the back end, and factored in 21 extra days into the NBA season, you could make this schedule much more palatable for these guys. And that's an answer here, and something that I think, I know the league has looked at a little bit. I think they have to look at a little bit deeper. I think rest is one of those things that you're gonna continue to get, because science has proven in certain spots that it helps. Even though from an old school standpoint, I'm not all that fond of it. But the problem also with making a rosters bigger, Damon, is I think you're still going to get a situation where coaches are still going to play their best players. And that's the thing. Everybody's – it's so competitive. Think about how hard it is to be an NBA coach, how easily guys lose jobs. Kevin McHale, look, in the Western Conference Finals last year, lost the job 11 games into this season. Jobs go. So coaches are not necessarily going to – unless you're a Popovich, unless you're a Doc Rivers, a Spoelstra, you have a championship ring, a Carlisle, can you afford to do something like that where you're going to stretch guys and have guys rest all that much? It's a hard thing for run-of-the-mill teams to do. I don't know the two extra roster spots are all that relevant, but I do agree with you. There's some stuff in there that you're talking about that would really help a ton.
I'd like to see the court grow by a foot, and if they went trapezoid, that means more space. I wouldn't mind that either.
Now, that's not a bad idea, the court grow. I mean, it would certainly change the game and make it different. Listen, I will tell you this. I'm starting to feel like the three-point line needs to be moved back a little bit. I wouldn't mind another foot on the three-point line.
Steph's cool with it.
A little bit of a tougher shot, you know?
Steph's...
Think about that short corner three, a 22-foot three, you know what I mean? They may want to leave. I don't know if you want to even leave that. Maybe you just want to push it. I don't know. You are onto something. If you make the court bigger, you certainly can push the three-point line back.
Great to talk to you. Always enjoy your stuff. Thank you so much, Brian. And if we don't catch up with you in another week or two, happiest the holidays.
Happy holidays to you and yours, Damon, and to your audience. I always love coming on with you. We'll talk again soon, buddy.
Great to talk to you. Brian Geltzeiler, at Hoops Critic. Follow him on Twitter. You can check him out on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Really good stuff from him. When we come on back, we will check in one last time. Or how about this? That's the wrong way to say it. We will check in for the first time in a long time with John Dickinson, who's at Oracle Arena ahead of tonight's game. Any last-minute changes to any lineups, he'll be sure to have it. We'll talk about the tone, the atmosphere, how many people were there for Curry's warm-up shoot-around. It's been 18 days since the Warriors have been home. We'll check in with John Dickinson, whose boots are on the ground. Over at Oracle, next.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, super reporter. Big game bounties, boots on the ground. John Dickinson, super reporter. Where will he be now? Let's go out to check.
From the text line, the homie in Antioch says, D. Bruce, wouldn't it be awesome if you got Carolina Panthers Spanish announcer Jaime Moreno to sing the John Dickinson theme song? Yeah, that would be amazing. How about this? When he comes to the Super Bowl, because I think the Panthers are going to go to the Super Bowl.
Likely.
When he comes and does our radio station, hangs out with us on Radio Row, because we're now friends with Jaime Moreno.
Yes.
We'll see what he can do. John, how are you? Good to check in with you live from Oracle Arena. That's where his boots are. How you doing, buddy?
Damon, good to be with you. And you can bet, you can absolutely bet, if the Carolina Panthers are in the Super Bowl, there will be a John Dickinson, Jaime Moreno one-on-one.
Wait, I'd love to do it. I mean, the interview, of course, happens. I want the mashup. I want the remix. I want the hot Latina version or Latino version of your theme song. It would be incredible. It has been a long time, 18 days since Warrior fans saw this team at Oracle Arena. It sounds to me that you have been very nice and stepped out of Oracle's bowl, so we're not drowned out, but I'm sure a lot of fans are already there watching Steph warm up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And a nightly occurrence. I think, you know, the fans itching to see this team once again, obviously, now with a loss on their record as they look to begin a new streak. And, you know, I think it's interesting, Damon, you know, Luke Walton made no bones about it before the game, just talking about the fact that it was nice to have a couple of days off once they got home to sort of get recalibrated again, that he felt the team was really sluggish at the end of the trip. Obviously played that way in Milwaukee, but the home games and the time off before the home games just as important. And I think, you know, the fans sort of getting to introduce themselves to this team has been on full display for the last hour or so.
Any lineup changes either team?
No, everything's good. Brandon Rush will start in place of Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes, the earliest he'll play will be a week from tonight. He'll take on the Jazz a week from tonight. He's going to be reevaluated Monday, is my understanding, and then we'll get a better feel for when exactly he will return. But Brandon Rush, the starting lineup there with Curry and Thompson and Draymond Green and Andrew Bogut.
Maybe the biggest news we got today about the Warriors is that Steve Kerr will be spending more time around the team. Have you seen him there tonight?
Yeah, I actually walked by him on my way into Luke Walton's press conference. Stopped, said hello briefly, and he met with a couple other media members briefly just to say hi, how you doing, put on a smile, and he has taken more of an active approach. And I think that, the next couple of weeks are going to be critical in determining exactly when Steve Kerr will come back, because the Warriors have so much time, here at home with the game tonight, and then they're going to play Friday, and then they don't play again until Wednesday, the Christmas game everybody's talking about. And then I think Sacramento's in after Christmas before they go on the road. But I think how Steve Kerr responds and how much he's able to do really in the next 2 weeks before the team goes back out on the road, I think that's going to define the timetable, by which he ultimately does return on a nightly basis.
I think that all sounds like it makes sense to me. No reason to rush anything when you're off to a start like this. How about this, John? While the Panthers remain undefeated as the number one seed, we will refer to you in hopes that all of this happens with Jaime Moreno. From now on, while the Panthers are undefeated, you are Juan Dickinson.
No issue with that, Damon. No, none whatsoever.
Thank you very much, buddy. Have a good night tonight. Enjoy. It should be fun.
All right. Sounds good, Damon.
There you go. Juan Dickinson.
That's good.
How do you say super reporter in Spanish?
Super reporter.
That's not fair. See, that's what I would have done.
Super.
See, I do that and they're like,
super fantastico reporter.
If I did that, reportera, they'd be like, you reportero, racist, unaware bastard. You do it, it's adorable.
It's because I speak Spanglish.
Juan Dickinson.
Super reporter.
Fantastico reporter.
I think periodista or something is a reporter, like news reporter, maybe. I don't know. I'm sure someone on the text line will tell me.
Here's the deal. If we can't get Jaime Moreno to do it, we need to bring in Cheech.
Reportero.
Juan Dickinson.
Super reportero.
This is incredible. Some guy's like, what? No credit for the Juan Dickinson? Yeah, text line fed it. But you didn't sign it, brother. You don't get credit for things. You got to put your name on it. We'll call you the one and only. From now on. Real fast, because we're running out of time. I told you the last minute would be spent on one of the best Big Ten coaches of my life. Bo Ryan is done. 15 seasons at Wisconsin. This guy went to 14 NCAA tournaments in 15 seasons. That is more than twice as all other Wisconsin coaches added together. This guy did more with no real recruiting pedigree to lean on. He did not bring in McDonald's All-American after McDonald's All-American. Wisconsin with Bo Ryan there, never a hotbed. Two Final Four appearances, 2015 national runner-up, 12 20-win seasons. Wisconsin had four 20-win seasons in its history before Bo Ryan became head coach. This guy woke up Wisconsin basketball the way, Joe, whoever you want to say is responsible for the Warriors waking up. He's one of the greatest coaches in Big Ten Conference history. Truly is. I will miss Bo Ryan. He stepped down kind of in a shady way. He wants his longtime assistant to get a good look as head coach. So he's walking away from his team. So his assistant is going to get the rest of the season.
Wow.
So you could say it's very unselfish, but you know what? You're the head coach. It's the athletic director's job to pick the next head coach, not yours.
Yeah.
We'll put Juan Dickinson on that story for tomorrow. thank you so much for tuning in. It was great talking to you all today. It was great having you here. Rusty Simmons, Trey Wingo, Brian Geldseiler, Juan, thank you so much. Gianna, Bouton, Vixen, Elena, thank you so much. Danny, have a great time at the Warriors game tonight. Thank you. Spencer for Hire was here. Thank him. Good job, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.